This evening's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger brother got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property and with prostitutes come home and you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" The word of the Lord. Before celebrating a baptism, the deacon approached the young father and said solemnly, "Baptism is a serious step. Are you sure you're prepared for it?" "I think so," the man replied. "My wife has made appetizers, and we have a caterer coming to do plenty of cookies and cakes for our guests."
"I don't mean that," the deacon replied. "I mean, are you prepared spiritually?"
"Oh, sure," came the reply. "I've got a keg of beer and a case of whiskey." Well, obviously, this young father had missed the point of baptism. Let's not do the same with Lent and Easter. Lent is a time of refreshing and deepening our relationship with God through prayer, repentance of sins, and self-denial. We need to keep in mind that it's more than just the Easter bunny and coloring Easter eggs. It's a time to reflect on God's love, an agape love that is great enough that he sent his son to die for us. In my eyes, it's an even greater sacrifice than enduring it himself. And likewise, Jesus accepted that role and endured it all the way to the cross. Agape love is love to the 100th power, a love set apart from just love. It's never-ending and it has no conditions. The Old Testament has several references or examples of God's agape love. In Deuteronomy and Hosea, God is shown to be a merciful God who will quickly and willingly accept Israel back into blessing again, even after they had left and treated him badly. Isaiah says that he will rejoice greatly at the return of his people from their disobedience and lives of sin when they come back to him. Now, it's not surprising that it sounds similar to the parable of the lost son that we just read. The parable is more commonly referred to as the story of the prodigal son. And it seems the only time we ever hear the word prodigal is in the title of this parable. Prodigal's basic meaning is wasteful, particularly with regard to money. Its Latin meaning indicates a person who wastes it by spending with reckless abandonment, which is exactly what the lost son does in the story. But Barclay claims, and I agree, that it should be called the loving father, because its focus should be on the father's love more than the son's sin. So just what did the father agree to? In Jewish society, there are laws regarding how inheritance were divided. With two brothers, the oldest brother would get 2/3 of the estate, and the younger brother would get 1/3. So the prodigal son is asking his father to give him 1/3 of everything he owns right now, before the father is dead, when he would still have need for his possessions. Now, think about it. In a society that highly respected parents, it would have been equivalent to saying, "Father, I can't even wait for you to die. Give me 1/3 of everything you have right now." And despite the audacity of the younger son's request, incredibly, the father agrees. Astonishing. But remember, Jesus is telling this parable to demonstrate the amazing indulgence that God shows towards us. Even when we are acting as selfishly as a prodigal son, God indulges us. He surrenders what is his and allows us to misuse it out of respect for the freedom that he has given us. Even though he knows that the misuse of our freedom will end badly, and in most cases, no better than it did with the prodigal son's misuse of his freedom. And God trusts that we will learn our lesson and come back to him, just as the son does. He returns humbled, not to beg for his place back in the family, but to ask to be hired as a servant. But much to his surprise, instead his return is celebrated. His father hugs and kisses him, even before he has a chance to apologize or clarify that he has returned, prepared to become his servant. Instead, his father turns to the actual servant and orders a celebration. It didn't matter what the son had done or not done. His father had not stopped loving him. Love is not merely one of God's attributes, but his very nature. That's why it's called agape love. The scripture says, "And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him." Amazing, isn't it? God knows us and still loves us. God knows we are sinners, yet he forgives us. We are ungrateful for his good gifts, yet he gives them anyway. And when we deserve punishment, he grants mercy. How often do we feel unworthy or are tired of our struggles and just ready to give up? Listen to the story of the fern and the bamboo. When God planted the fern and the bamboo seed, he took very good care of them. He gave them light and he gave them water. The fern quickly grew from the earth. Its brilliant green covered the floor. Yet nothing came from the bamboo seed. But he did not quit on the bamboo seed. In the second year, the fern grew more vibrant and plentiful. And again, nothing from the bamboo seed. But he did not quit on the seed. In year 3 and year 4, there was still nothing from the bamboo seed. But he would not quit. Then, in the 5th year, a tiny sprout emerged from the earth. Compared to the fern, it was seemingly small and insignificant. But just 6 months later, the bamboo rose to over 100 feet tall. It had spent 5 years growing roots. Those roots made it strong and gave it what it needed to survive. God would not give any of his creatures a challenge it could not handle. God explains, "The time you have been struggling, you have actually been growing roots. I would not quit on the bamboo, and I will never quit on you." "Don't compare yourself to others," he said. "The bamboo had a different purpose than the fern, yet they both make the forest beautiful." I left the forest realizing that God will never give up on me, and he will never give up on you. Now, another image that comes to mind was a game that I used to play with my children. I'd ask them, "How much does Mommy love you?" And they would spread their arms and giggle, "This much." But God's agape love for us is farther than any arms can reach. This psalm articulates it better than I can. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, and those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." Dr. Carl Menninger says, "Love is the basic need of human nature. For without it, life is disrupted, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically." End quote. We need to rejoice in the fact that God loves us just as much as he loved his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. What a staggering, overwhelming truth to comprehend. We need have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. We need never be reluctant to trust God with our entire life. And the most unbelievable part is that he loves us even when we don't deserve it. That's God's agape love. And for that, we thank the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.